Thank you, Mr. Beckett. Good morning, brethren. We are such creatures of habit. I'm not used to coming up here second, and I feel like I'm running late. So bear with me. 45 days ago, brethren, we observed the day of Pentecost, the day that was in which the Holy Spirit was given to the New Testament church. And 50 days prior to that, we begin counting for that day. A little more than 70 days from now will mark the beginning of the fall feast season. Feast fever is mounting, and once we celebrate that Feast of Trumpets, that fever will become a roar among the people of God. The fall holidays evoke an excitement that is unlike any other time of the year. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Piste de Resistance, among all of God's holy days. It's a time like no other, and its observance should help to sharpen our focus towards the ultimate goal that we are all to be seeking first and foremost in our lives, that kingdom of God. To a lesser degree, all of the holy days are special. Not that they're lesser holy days, but they offer us less enjoyment, less outward pleasure of the things that we can have around us. But their ongoing observance plays a part in reinforcing the plan of God within our hearts and minds, each year expanding our understanding as we continue to study, learn, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Every passing year, we should be gaining a new perspective of what lies ahead, not just for us as the first fruits of God, but for the people that we will come to serve when that last trumpet blows. This, brethren, is our time of preparation. And we read and know that our experiences here and now, be they trials or triumphs, are preparing us for that very future, that future of service in the world tomorrow, that time we look so forward to, that lies just ahead beyond today. Now I see the smile, so I know you're listening, if you caught that. The feast days of God, not a God, but the God, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in him, in them, which includes us, brethren, and all that have ever lived and tasted the breath of life. The feast days of God, 19 individual days set apart by God as holy time to worship him, each with their own meaning and times of fulfillment in the greater plan of God. And to that we can add 52 weekly Sabbaths like today, which give us a total of 71 days out of every year that are set aside for us to worship before our great God. We assemble before him on the Sabbath day, like today, and every holy day, before his very presence, to worship him as he commands. And in so doing, brethren, we receive the knowledge and understanding not just about what he is doing, but how to better walk the walk that we have been called to tread as we press along this narrow way to eternal life. 71 days out of 365, and let's not forget the quarter, 19.43% of our time is asked to be offered in worship to God. But that's direct worship. Simpler math will show that the difference once we take out that 19% is 294.25 days that are different and apart from that specific worship of God. Those 294 days, brethren, constitute the time in between, which, if you've been waiting, that is the topic and the title of the message here today, the time in between. Today, brethren, we're going to take a look at that time in between, those 71 days of worship, of memorial observance and celebration, between those days that we gather before God to be taught by him from his servants. The lecture portion, if you will, of our journey of discipleship. It's where we find ourselves here this morning. Now, hopefully this message and most messages do not come across as that word lecture evokes or infers. So why do I use that word? Well, it goes back to a message that I heard at a Feast of Tabernacles some years ago in Canada, where the speaker likened the times of our lives into two basic categories: lecture, the time we gather before God to learn, and lab, the time we walk out that door and apply the things we have learned. I love that analogy, and I've held on to that for all these years. So today, brethren, in this lecture portion of our time, we're going to focus on lab. Those 294 and a quarter days, 7,062 hours that we have, at least in part anyway, because we need to take out and allow ourselves time to sleep. So that 365 less 8 hours a day, how many of you actually get that 8 hours? Yeah, I don't see any hands either. And you do the multiplication and the division, and it's 121 and three quarter days. So if we take that away, what we actually have to use and apply what we learn here in lecture is 172 and a half days. In 1 year, that's what we have. That's the time that we have been allotted to show forth the works of God that he's doing in our lives. Now, if we really want to be exacting, we could actually throw back in a little bit of the time that we spend at the feasts, tabernacles, and Feast of Unleavened Breads, because we do mix in with the world during those time periods, and it is a time that we can be that outward example. And so let's just begin there, the doing. So with that, turn, if you will, to the first scripture of today. That'll be Galatians 6 and verse 10. And if you're looking for a scriptural synopsis for this message, perhaps this is it. Paul, starting in verse 1, Galatians 6, is speaking to the principle of bearing one another's burdens and the law of reaping that which we sow. And in verse 10, he writes to us the following: as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. All men. I read no exclusions or exceptions mentioned. But he does prioritize in the next little part of that scripture, especially to them who are the household of faith. Some translations will render it, first of all, to the household of faith. But I think we get the point. So that's where we are to begin first in applying the doing of the good that we learn in lecture, to extend the application to all men. Now, we won't be addressing the serving of the household of God, because we have heard much of late about the things that you all do for each other. So there's really no reason to go over that. But today, we're going to consider our personal interactions outside the context of this body of Christ, and how we should be conducting ourselves in our everyday doings, living our lives in a manner that allows others to see the fruits that we are working to develop within ourselves, to be about the very life conversion that we have been called to do. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To individually be overcoming our human nature so that we can better reflect the very God we worship, and in so doing, to be that light of hope shining forth in the darkness of this world around us. To do, to be about the doing. That, brethren, is the operative word or phrase for today's message: being doers. We should all have James 1:22 fresh in our mind. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The overall context of that scripture in James 1 begins in verse 19 and continues through verse 27, which is the end of the chapter. It speaks to many factors in the application of our overcoming and the liberty that is to be found in the law of God, as we just heard about last week from Mr. Adia. Well, those of you who attended the rest, the east side, those who were not redeeming your time right here. Part of that doing, perhaps, is the first part in keeping the holy days as God commands. That certainly is to be part of our yearly cycle of worship. 71 days worth, as mentioned in the beginning of this message, those appointed times that God has set forth for us to assemble before him. But if we stop and think about it, each and every day can avail us almost boundless opportunities to show forth the great works of God. In all the various personal interactions that we have with our fellow man, it might just serve us to change our focus as we approach whatever we do with that time in between. So let's move on today with looking at some basic responsibilities that all of us have as we go about our life. And these are very basic, and we're just going to touch on them because we won't need to spend a great deal of time. But for those of us sitting here today, the called, chosen, and faithful, putting God first in our life should be paramount. It's our personal responsibility, and we can read of that in Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work it out. Apply it. Make those changes. Build that character. It starts the moment we awake every day. But we need to be attentive to our Bible study, our prayer, and meditation. That's our first step in learning and taking on the mind and the attitudes of God. Along with any duties or service responsibilities that you might be called upon to perform here within the congregation, and even that we must temper to fit all of the following responsibilities: family responsibilities, general household responsibilities, work responsibilities, for you young people, school responsibilities, our own personal care, health, nutrition, and rest. Each one a varied and complex set of responsibilities that we must manage throughout our lives that take up some of that time in between. And yet, along with each of these responsibilities comes the opportunity to interact with others. Again, those in our family, our co-workers, our fellow students, all give us the opportunity to show forth the love that God is developing in us, the love of God. It will show up in the things that we do, in the things that we say, in the way we treat them. Each one of those opportunities provides the basic personal interactions that will allow our light to shine. Here in this life, we apply the principles we are taught and continually learning to walk the walk, which quickly will bring us around to our third item here today, our example, which is really what we've been talking about. The application, if you will, and in a nutshell, the bearing of fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, we should all know that. And most of our minds, it should be fresh, because it has been the topic of our youth studies, discussions, and many of the messages from up here for quite some time now. So I won't go over them at all in detail. We'll mention them here in a moment. And if you're not familiar with them, I would definitely encourage you to add that to your study. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 specifically. However, the overall context does run from verses 13 through 26 which is also the end of that chapter. The fruits of the Spirit. But what Spirit, you might ask? And rightly so. For we are also told in Scripture that we are to try or test each spirit. For there are many deceiving spirits out there, and we need to be aware of them, promoting attitudes, doctrines, and false ideas that are contrary to the very God we serve and would take us away from the actual doing that we are to be about. We can read that in 1 John 4, verse 1. We don't need to turn there, but that's where he warns us to be aware of these false teachers. The fruits of the Spirit we refer to are those that are revealed in Galatians 5 and verse 22. And they are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Each one a study in and of itself. Each one, when displayed, reveal a character and nature far different from that which we see around us and come in contact most of the time in the world. There are nice people. There are people that treat others with respect. But they don't know what we know. They don't understand what the future has in store. That's such a blessing, brethren. And when our light shines, we should let that shine from within, that we know and love the God that we serve. But be prepared, because with some, such character traits go unnoticed. You can be as nice as you want, and they will spit in your face. And you know what we do? We be nice, more so. Don't let them stop you from being the example that God wants you to be. There is strength and power in the qualities that, well, come directly from God. And you don't have to say anything. You just have to be that. And you will make an impression. And you will be an example. I've had it happen in my life. We are to develop those qualities and manifest them in all that we do. We are admonished in Scripture to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. We can find that in two scriptures. Again, we're not going to turn there, but Matthew 3, verses 8, and Luke 3, verses 3, talks about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. Now, when we do good, we certainly like to be recognized for it. But that shouldn't be our goal. But it is encouraging and it is reinforcing when we do those nice little things, when we're pleasant to another, and they come and recognize us and tell us that, you know, there's something different about you. That makes an impact, and we have to know that God is there smiling when he sees this. If he smiles when one comes in and is baptized, certainly he's going to smile when he sees that producing fruit. We cannot allow ourselves to become like the fig tree written about in Luke 13 that looks rooted, stands there, but produces nothing. But God in his mercy will give us time. That parable teaches us that. Just a little more to work at it, to show that we can do what he asks us to do. So don't get weary in the well-doing, because the future goal and reward that we have been given is something that is beyond comprehension, something that we can't even really fathom here and now. And so we may often ask ourselves, well, what else can I do? I go to services, I'm trying to overcome these issues, and am I really doing anything? Well, anything that we do, brethren, so long as it is rooted and motivated in the love of God, will make an impact on others. You might be surprised and amazed how even the smallest word to a busy, unappreciated store clerk can bring a smile that was just moments before a sullen face. A casual, kind gesture that can relieve someone else's burden, holding a door, reaching for something high on a shelf that they can't quite get to. perhaps taking a lesser position in the line when you can tell that they're rushed or under stress. These are only small examples, little, perhaps, even seemingly significant random acts of kindness, as the catchphrase was not too long ago. In my day, it was common courtesy. Little things that unless we are outwardly thinking about the welfare of others, the opportunities would go unnoticed as we charge through life thinking only of ourselves. But those little things can make a difference and do show forth our light to the people that we come in contact with. We will either shine bright as a reflection of our Father or not. That's our choice on how we apply the lecture portion of what we learn. That little example, that little element in their lives may just cause them to ask about the hope that is in us. Are we ready to give the answer? That's a whole nother message and topic. Because today, brethren, we've just been trying to sharpen our focus on what we can be doing out there in lab in the time between. So in conclusion, brethren, let's just review what we've looked at here today. We've dabbled in a little basic math to help us define the general allocation of our time as we navigate through the yearly cycle of our lives. We reviewed our responsibility as disciples of our Lord and Savior to be about the doing of that which is taught by His Word. We looked at some of the basic life responsibilities that we all have and discovered that they are only a beginning to our first opportunities to be living the walk of walk, the walk we walk, and interacting with the people that we come in contact with. But most importantly, brethren, our overall example. That is where we apply the instructions and principles that we are given in order that we might produce the fruits God expects to see in His children. Every day we are provided many opportunities to manifest those fruits, to be a light in the darkening world around us, as we go about our lives, filling in that time in between. Brethren, let's be about our Father's business.